Now we have come in the introduction of kindness, that love is kind, and we have noted it from many different respects. I spend more time than I will on a lot of the subjects just in introduction because, as we saw, man does have contempt for kindness. And so I wanted to spend a few moments on the various things that give us the importance of kindness. Kindness as an essence of God. So we spend time with that. Why is His love kind? Because God is kind. It's an attribute. It's a quality and a being of God. We've seen that it is part of our salvation. And we've looked at several passages, not just one. So it's repeated over and over, the importance of kindness in regard to our salvation. We saw it as part of the Christian life. We saw it as part of what is going to make all of eternity, eternity. We saw that in Ephesians, that what is going to make Ephesians 2, 5-7, what is going to make heaven heaven is that it is going to be a constant environment of the kindness of God. So, we've seen that we need His kindness at the cross, we need His kindness in the Christian life, and we need His kindness in eternity in the resurrected body. That's powerful. That says quite a lot about the importance of kindness. We need it as unbelievers, and we need it as in the resurrected body in our eternal sainthood, if you please, as opposed to being a sinner or having a sin nature. We need kindness in both states. That's just powerful. And so this is important. Now, and we saw it as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now we move to kindness as a property of spiritual life. Kindness as part of the makeup of spiritual love. Therefore, really concentrating on those three areas, we need kindness at the cross, and we got it. We need kindness in the Christian life, and we need kindness in the resurrected body in eternity. We're looking now at the need or the place of kindness in the Christian life. Kindness and spiritual love. As a characteristic of spiritual love, as a part of what spiritual love is. So if you have spiritual love in your life, you will be kind. If your love does not have kindness, then your love is probably not the love of the Holy Spirit. And it just does so much that we're going to study. So those things are just by way of introduction. It is not an accident, nor is it arbitrary decision that God the Holy Spirit directed Paul to really mention these things in the order in which he did. And they're focused on long suffering first, and then on kindness. Therefore, Roman numeral 1. Now, where are we? We are at kindness now and spiritual love. We've taken all the introductory things, and now we're at kindness and spiritual love. Roman numeral 1, kindness of spiritual love in relationship with long suffering. Now, I want to cover that before I cover the quality of kindness and love. Before we get into what it's about and all of that, I just wanted to say some things on way of introduction under Roman numeral 1, kindness and long-suffering. One might think logically this would be the last thing we would do in this study under kindness. But I want to do it the first. It's only a few points. And I want to dramatize how it's related with long-suffering before we even get to a whole discussion of what it is about. So Roman numeral 1, is kindness of spiritual love in relationship with the long suffering of spiritual love. And for us, if I were printing this, I'd have to be A, B, and all that. But point one, to understand the property of spiritual love as being long suffering, we understood that is that long suffering is an immune system. It functions as the immune system of our spiritual life. We saw that long suffering protects our love. Spiritual love being long-suffering protects you. It's something that happens inside. Spiritual love being long-suffering protects you from the pressures that act against you, the diseases trying to get inside, protecting you against revenge, protecting you against anger or bitterness when people do things to you. when people sin against you, when people let you down, when people fail you, when people are just plain stupid and do foolish things around you, and all this kind of thing, long suffering is on the inside. The long suffering of spiritual love is on the inside of our soul, and it protects us, stabilizes us, makes us strong in that respect. So point two, long suffering protects and prevents you from reacting or revenge or just walking away. Reacting. Now, what are you going to do if you're not going to seek revenge? If you're not going to become angry? Now, revenge, people, I don't mean deep plot. Revenge may be nothing more than just letting them have it verbally. Revenge may be just that. Revenge may be putting them in their place. Revenge may be more active than that, hurting them or keeping something from them or whatever, reacting in some way. But if we're not going to react to their sin and their failure and what they've done to us, then what are we going to do? There's a overt void for a second. What is the world going to see? See, people, the world cannot see long suffering. Long suffering is personal. Long suffering is inside of you. Long suffering is making you strong. But what is the world going to see is the point here. See? So this is what we're now looking at. Does this mean that love just walks away and kind of a live and let live? No, that's not the kind of love God has. It's not spiritual love. Spiritual love has an impact or an effect. And it is the property of spiritual love as a force to have an impact or an effect. And the first one's on the inside, that's long suffering. But what is the world going to see? Point three. The world is going to see the kindness of love. And when I say the world, we're starting with that other person or persons. Family, friends, church, work, social, whatever it may be. They're going to see kindness of love. Kindness is an impact, is an overt impact of spiritual love. Long suffering is inside impact or effect. Kindness is an impact overtly. Long suffering impacts and protects you inside, more personal. Kindness guides love in what you're going to do, how you're overtly going to respond. This is what they're going to get. So this is what starts coming out of you now. What's happening on the inside? Long suffering. Not going to get upset, not going to do. What they're going to see is kindness. Kindness in major things in life, everyday things in life, simple things in life. This is where a lot of times, you know, it's a major thing. A lot of times Christians garrison themselves. But it's also in the daily things, just the mundane things that happen in life. People cut in front of you in the supermarket, highway. If the spiritual love is just a long suffering, it protects you, it makes you strong. Makes you strong, people. And, I'm not one of those people who just lets people come in and cut in front of me and do all this kind of stuff. You're worried about the world. Spiritual love never worries about when it's wrong. It doesn't have to. It doesn't have some face it's got to keep up in front of everybody. Doesn't have that in its place. So this is what the world is going to see. They're going to see this. Now, point four. Therefore, kindness of spiritual love allows others to hold on to what they have in Christ. One thing about love is thoughtful of the object of love. That's beneficial. And the kindness of spiritual love allows others to hold on what they do have in Christ. Now, they might even be out of fellowship. That's why they sinned against you. They might not. But they might be out of fellowship. They might be out of the power of the Spirit. They may be acting totally in the flesh themselves. But they still possess a lot of things in Christ. They possess, for the fact, the potentiality of getting right back into the power of the Spirit. So what generally happens is, they hurt the one believer, the believer responds, they respond, and now everybody's out, and nobody's about to get back into the filling of the Spirit. Nobody. Everybody's, you know, boom. But what happens is, they hit, and you, instead of reacting, you give them kindness, and I'm just dramatizing for the Spirit, that startles them. Well, boom, wait a minute. And they're kind of thrown off too. And they don't have a position they've now got to hold on to because of your kindness. They don't have to hold on to what they've done. Somebody, you know, I'm being silly, but it'll communicate the more dramatic things in life. But it cuts in front. So you say something sarcastic or tough about, well, what's the person drawn to do? Defend that position. You know, defend that they cut in front of you is okay. They've got to defend that now because you've taken a position. And so, you know, it can be just from sarcasm to something else to, you know, hey, you want to step outside? I'll show you how to cut in line. You know, that type of thing today. Or just open up their coat and their purse and pull out a gun and say, now, do you mind if I step in front of you? Not at all. Just keep in, you know, go with it. But that type of thing. You cause that person to solidify their stand. Whereas if there's kindness, they don't have a position they've got to hold in life, in the relationship. I saw this in just the family. Just all it takes is one little remark. Even at a funeral, and I've seen that so often, this is where people, you learn about people. You learn so much about people. I always say that the first place, if you really want to learn the character of somebody, watch how they go through a divorce. You'll really learn a lot. Hide stuff, attack one another, use the children, all kinds of stuff. Just stand back and you'll learn so much about a person. Just observe them going through divorce or death. Watch how they handle and talk and try to pit sides and do this and do that and all of the garbage is one way or another brought up, and little sarcastic remarks and all this type of thing. You just watch people. But when we do that, we cause the other person to have to make their stand because we want to defend our position. But what does kindness do? It disarms. Kindness totally disarms. I have nothing to really hold on to if you're going to be in kindness. You know, it just sort of it draws attention to what really is going on. So kindness allows a person to hold on to what they do have in Christ and maybe draw them back to what they do have in Jesus Christ. Okay, and point five. Not necessarily less important than point three, than point four either, because of the whole spiritual warfare. Point five is what all see. Point five is what angels observe. Point five is what the world, if you please, sees when it sees the love of Christ coming out of you. This is what the world will see. This is what the world will know. Right here. They will see this. And they will know by observation. That's one of the forces or impacts or effects of kindness of spiritual life. This is what the world is going to see. Kindness is part of love extended outwardly and therefore seen by others. Some look at this aspect that we're looking at as a passive and active side of love. There are people who talk about this. Long-suffering is the passive side. Kindness is the active side. I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true, and I think that minimizes the effect of both. It's so much more than that. Long-suffering is not passive, people. Long-suffering is active. It's acting on you. It's what love acts and does to you. Actively in self. Kindness is what acts toward other people. So one is not active and the other passive. They're both active. And they both have dramatic impact. This is the impact of spiritual love on you, the impact of spiritual love on others. So this is why it's a vital part of, this, of the Christian life. Point six. Kindness and the new commandment. The new commandment is what got it all started. New commandment is what got it all started. I don't know how many of you know, but my journey in seeing what does God want us to do to recover from sin, not just confession or repentance or things like that, was right there with, that, with the new commandment in John. I started asking myself, how do we get this love? And that just started a long journey to Lewis Berry Taper and a lot of things in my life. So I want to make a comment under point six about the new commandment and spiritual love, or the new commandment and kindness of love. It's a prime directive. We are to love as Christ loved. How did Christ love? Christ loved sacrificially to self, beneficially to others. Long-suffering allows sacrificial to yourself. Because love is long-suffering, it allows us to be sacrificial to self. Because love is kind, it allows us to be beneficial to others. To love as Christ loved you, your love must be long-suffering, and your love will be kind. It is not just going to benefit you, but it's going to benefit others. That's love. That's spiritual love. It will benefit you. It will benefit others. Spiritual love serves you in the long suffering of love being like an immune system that we studied. Being an immune system. Kindness is what the world is going to see. By this, the new commandment in John 13, by this, all will know that you are mine. If you love as I have loved you, by this all will know. How will the world know? What will they see? What will they see? What do we see when we see spiritual love in action? Can you see love? Well, let's ask the question, can you see gravity? No. Can you see the wind? No. Can't see the wind, and you can't see gravity. You know the wind is there because you see what? The effect. You see the trees leaning. You see hair, depending on the on how powerful the wind is. We see the effect of it. You know the wind is there because what? You can feel the wind. We can feel it. You know the wind is there because you are affected by the wind. How many of us had our hats blown off or something blown out of our hand that we weren't holding secure and the wind comes by and there it goes. We're affected by the wind. So, no, we cannot see the wind. Cannot see it. But we know the wind is there because we see the effect of the wind, we feel the wind, and we're affected by the wind in various ways. Say gravity. Can you see gravity? No. You know gravity is there because you can what? We can see the effect of gravity. You know gravity is there. Why? Because it affects us. It pulls us down. You want to call that a feel, all right, but physically it affects us. It's what holds us into place. You know gravity is there because your whole life is just affected by it. You're just, you know, totally dependent on this law of gravity. Our whole life is dependent upon it. Put something down, that's going to be there. Why do I know it's going to be there? Gravity. So we can depend on it. Okay. Can you see spiritual love? No. Can't see it. You know spiritual love is there because you can see the effect of spiritual love. You know spiritual love is there because you can feel the effect of spiritual love. You know that spiritual love is there. You are affected by it. you personally. Not just see the effect, you are affected by spiritual love. So it's a very powerful point, point six, relating it with the new commandment. By this, all will know. People, how do they know? Because I tell them so? No, because of my doctrine, because I go to church, because I'm Baptist or Presbyterian or Bible church or this or that, and on and on and on. No. They're going to see it and affect about it. And they're going to know you belong to Christ. Angels will know. Angels will know in this respect. Okay? Point seven. Long suffering. Remember what we studied under Roman number one, kindness and long suffering. So that's why you're hearing a lot about long suffering. That's our whole point. Putting those two together. One side of the coin is inside, like inside of us, that's long suffering. It's inside. The outside is the kindness. So this is what we're looking at. Now point seven, long suffering does not make you recluse. Long suffering doesn't mean live and let live, and I'll just go off, and I won't hate you, and I won't be angry, and all that kind of nonsense. Long suffering as a part of spiritual love is not silent. Long suffering as a part of spiritual love works and affects on the inside of the believer. As we just said, keeps you from reacting, keeps you calm, keeps you in control. Keeps you holding on to your own spiritual virtues and things that you have in Christ. Long suffering allows you to manifest other characteristics of spiritual love like kindness. Under the impact of long suffering, you do not react. You do not seek revenge. Under the characteristic or impact of kindness, your love is encouraging to others. Encouraging to others. The force of kindness can be in contrast with the force of violence, revenge, anger, injury, damage, chaos, fear. All those things we know spiritual love is not there. We see it. And when you see kindness, you know something about spiritual love. Point eight. In summary of all of this, part of the environment of love is kindness. Kindness is the environment of spiritual love. Kindness is the evidence, the overt evidence of spiritual love. If you love as Christ loved, kindness will make this evident. There are a lot of places we could learn, but just turn with me to 1 John. Let's turn to 1 John, please. Let's begin, so we could take love and hate in verse 13. I really want to read with you from 16 to 19, but let's just read from 13. Do not marvel, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. And what is the environment of this? And how is it going to be seen in kindness? Verse 15, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Verse 16, we know love by this. Again, not by definition. We know love by this. Here it is. That he laid down his life for us. So we see that kindness. And we ought to lay down our lives for one another rather than seeking revenge and all of this. Lay down our lives. Verse 17, but whoever has the world's goods, that means that God has prospered you in some way, and beholds his brother in need, and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Love will manifest itself. Love has a kindness that can be seen. There's an evidence of it. just as we saw with the wind and with gravity. Oh, I have love, but you know, there's a lot of wind today, and you look out and there's nothing blowing. Well, I don't know, okay. You say there is, but all I can tell you is your wind is dead. Okay? And so, here's a brother who talks about love, maybe even says, oh, I'm sorry you're going to do that, you know, if you need me, give me a call, bye! And that's not what's going on here. You see your brother in need, in any kind of need. We're not here to study the passage, but it could be a multitude of kinds of needs. And he just closes his heart. Let us be like the people in the story of the Good Samaritan that walked on the other side of the road. They saw. Make no doubt about it. They saw. They just chose to walk on by. Not intrude on my life. Not intrude on me. That's true. We saw that in verse 16 before. What does it mean to lay down our life? Well, I've got my whole plans and everything. If I take time and do this, then I'm not going to get what I want done. If I take money and do this, I won't have the money for what I want. And that are just all these kinds of things. And people may think I'm a sinner if I go and help. Whatever it is, multitude of reasons why I know. Then verse 18, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. I need to say it. It's seen. Just like we've seen. It's not going to be somebody who's going to know that you're a Christian because you tell them you are, going to know you belong to Christ and you love as Christ loved. Then, so verse 18, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue. In other words, just talk a good talk. But in deed and truth. What is truth here? Truth is according to what love is. And we're looking at what love is. Verse 19. See, a lot of people, oh, this is love. No, that's not really love. That's not really what love is. That's what we're dealing with, truth, reality. Verse 19. We shall know by this that we are of the truth and shall assure our heart before Him. We shall know that we are of the truth. What is the truth? The truth is what love really is. What love really, really is in truth. Okay, any questions on kindness and long-suffering? Just wanted to spend a few minutes in bringing us together in a thought of looking together at those two, because they go together. Now Roman numeral 2. This is important. Roman numeral 2. Kindness and spiritual love. We're finally there. Roman numeral 1 was kindness and long-suffering. But now I want to take a look at kindness and spiritual love. What does kindness add to love? Why did God make spiritual love to be kind? Kind of like to think of it in a humorous way of the ancient gods and goddesses were all together now, and we have this big urn. And we are going to come up with this potion is going to be love. I made a mistake when I first used that example a long time ago, and we're all going to make love. And I had people that were, oh, all right. But what we're going to do is we're going to make a potion, and that potion is love. We're going to make this, adding this urn, we're going to make love. And it's really interesting. The first thing in it is suffering, long suffering. First thing we learn about love is that it suffers. Not only does it suffer, it's long suffering. So if you're going to get married, you're going to have children, you're going to love, just bank on it. You're going to have suffering. Love suffers. So the first ingredient of love is long suffering. It's a rather dramatic, important thing to bear in mind. Long suffering. If I have the opportunity, if somebody asks me to come and speak to young people or young married people, it's going to be what I'm going to talk about. Love suffers. You want to fall in love? You want to get married? Good. Let me tell you the first thing. I introduce you to it. Long suffering. You're going to suffer. And why did God make it kind? Okay, let's do point one. Let's first of all go, since we're a Bible church, to the word. The Greek here. I want to first of all say that this is not a descriptive adjective. This is not a qualifying noun. This is a verb. This is a verb. Chris Tuomai.
Christuomai.
Chris Tuomai. It's the only place in the New Testament for the verbal form. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, love is kind, is a substantive. So we ask ourselves, why the verbal form here? Why does God the Holy Spirit use the verbal form here? This is the action of love. This is the action of spiritual love. Love is a force that is kind. You and I are not kind. Love is kind. It describes love. It's not describing us. It's describing the love of God the Holy Spirit coming through us. It's His. That's very important. Remember about when we get to Revelation and a lot of discussion on works there. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. What's the works that God is looking for? This is the works of the Holy Spirit. It is a verbal form. This is what love is. Love is kind. The action of love. The action of spiritual love is kindness. This is the effect that the world can see. This is an inherent action of love. That's very important. It's an inherent action of love. If you love as Christ loved, then your love will be kind. You do not choose for your love to be kind. Your love will be kind because love is kind. If your love is not kind, if your love does not care about kindness, then do not deceive yourself that you're loving as Christ loved. Because you're not. Your love is self-centered, self-pleasing. It's for yourself. Spiritual love is kind toward the other person. That's just what it is. When you talk about it, that's what it is. You can't take that away. If you're talking truly about love, spiritual love, it's kind. So an inherent makeup of the action of this love. Point two. The root of this word. And I want to spend a few minutes here because, you know, if I were to ask you, you don't need to do it, but if I just say, define kindness in your own mind. You know, write down a definition and see how you would define kindness. It'd be kind of like saying, I want you to define gravity. Write down on a piece of paper and define gravity. Now what I want you to do is write down on a piece of paper, I want you to define kindness. So, here's our word, this case. And that's C-H-R, Chris, and that's actually an E sound, S-T, long E-S, Christos. Let's talk about it. Christos. This is the root word. The verb is Christuomai. The root word is Christos. From this week, we again going to gain a basic understanding of spiritual love and of kindness. It is used to describe something or someone. Now, here we go. This is what kindness, what are we studying now? We're studying kindness and spiritual love. Okay, here it is. When we come up to our big urn and we pour in that little thing of kindness, what have we done now? What have we added? We pour in a little bit of long-suffering, and I think every one of you know more now than you ever want to know about long-suffering. You got that down, what we added. Now we pour in a little bit of this called kindness. What have we added to our subject of love? Okay, here's what this word means. Describe something or someone as being useful. So here's the usefulness of love. Serviceable. Here's what's going to make love serviceable. Edifying. This is what's going to make love edifying. It's right here. this aspect. Look at 1 Corinthians 8, please. 1 Corinthians 8. Verse 1. Now concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. But let me tell you about knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. Now, if we were taking a test, what quality or attribute or essence of love allows it to edify? What would be the answer? Huh? Kindness. That's what this word means. Let's go back now. Our word. Our word means to make useful, serviceable, edifying. The kindness of spiritual love is what makes love edifying. Continuing, just studying the word. Suitable. I didn't make these up. These are out of lexicons and things. Suitable for a specific purpose. Now here's the quality that kindness adds to love to make love what it is, spiritual love what it is. This is what makes spiritual love useful, serviceable, edifying to others. This is the property of love that is suitable or edifying. Love alchemizes everything, if you recall. Well, it is kindness that adds the utility, see? What did we study here? Kind of draw you back to memory. We saw there are a lot of common elements. In 1 Corinthians 13, for an example, there is speaking in tongues. There is knowledge of all doctrine, all mystery. The working of various spiritual gifts. There is giving, even to the point where you give your own life. And we could add a lot of things just to, we'll call these common ingredients of life. There is giving and just things that we can do in life for one another. Now, of themselves, they have no real value. It is going to be spiritual love that is going, we're going to put them through this alchemizing machine here, and this alchemizing machine is spiritual love, and it is going to be the property of kindness that is going to make these what? Useful in the plan of God. So that what comes out on this side is going to make you useful and cause spiritual love to fulfill all of its purposes for you and for the other person and for ultimately for God Himself, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. But it is spiritual love that takes any of these. People, you can give and it not mean a thing. You can say things and do things for people. You can drive home and it's pouring down rain and stop, help somebody change a flat tire. Gentlemen won't stop for some old ugly old lady, but boy, it's a good looking chick. They'll all want to stop and help. But you can stop and help somebody of another race and poor, their car just broken down. They don't even have a tire. You got to go get a tire. And this whole time, you're thinking, oh, no, I'm a wonderful person. Boy, this makes me wonderful. Yeah, that hasn't been alchemized at all. You're really wasting all your time. Wasting all your time. Doesn't mean a thing. I'll never forget when I was a little guy in elementary and in the sixth grade, and the principal came over the intercom. He and I were real close. He came over the intercom and he asked for Herman to come to his office. I ran to his office and he said, come here, I want you to look out the window. And I said, okay. So we looked out the window and he said, see, there's a lady that's got a flat tire right there. And our church was right there across from my elementary school too. And I said, yes, sir. Like, okay, I didn't do it. I didn't die, give him a flat tire. I'm not in trouble, ever. And he said, I want you to go across the street and help her fix her flat. And I'm angelic. I really know how to do this. But okay. So I charge over there. And between the two of us, and she knew a little bit, and I helped, and the dames, and we got the bolts on and off and all that. And she wanted to give me some money. And to this day, I still laugh. Because I said, no, ma'am, I can't. She said, no, I want you to take this. And I said, no, ma'am, I want you my reason. The principal's watching through the window right over there. Had nothing to do with, no, I don't want money for helping you. It was, he's watching right over there. If he wasn't watching, we might have a different deal here, lady. So this is the deal. You know, what alchemizes what we do? We're doing it for the world? Or are we doing it out of, is it an action of spiritual love? See? And it's spiritual love that alchemizes it. Well, one thing that happens when something is alchemized makes it useful. Remember where we got all this whole thing, or this whole thing of alchemy? You took the common ingredients, and what were common things? This rock, and just anything common, the yolk of eggs, the white of eggs. I mean, the alchemists tried all kinds of common things, and what they wanted to come out here was the philosopher's stone, which is gold. So this is what they wanted to make out of these common elements. And alchemy is the system that it would go through to make that. So this is why the spiritual love is the alchemy that takes all these common things and gives them back. Well, what is it that gives them usefulness? It's kindness. That little part of that we've poured into love here called kindness, that's going to take all these things and give it usefulness. You can give money to your children, you can give money to someone in life, you can give them things in life. You can give for a lot of different reasons, but if it's in the kindness of spiritual love, it makes it useful. You and to the glory of God and to so many things that are going on. So this is so important. So point two, spiritual love, or the kindness of spiritual love, is what adds to spiritual love that serviceable, makes it edifying to the person, which is suitable for a specific purpose. These are the characteristics of spiritual love, or of the kindness. It's a property of love that is suitable or edifying. And so this is what we want to remember. Well, we've got to close now. We'll start here, right here, next Tuesday evening. So let's close in a word of prayer. Remind y'all at Mother's Day Assembly. Heavenly Father, wow, what do we learn concerning hearing what you are, Father? Because this is what your love is. Because this is not our love. This is your love. Processed through us by the power of your Spirit. We're not these things. Your love is these things. Because you're kind. These are the things that we can be a benefit in receiving from you. These are the things that the world can be a benefit in receiving it from us through your Spirit. Father, we pray that we will just more and more be transformed into the image of Christ and love as he loved us. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. I really am. I'm thinking very seriously of starting to work. Now, I've got several hours of just introductory preparatory work I want to do. Are we on?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. We have gone into prayer from prayer meeting, so let's now move into our study of loving as Christ loved. This is the most... Are we on?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. The whole of studying Scripture and what my life is about, what my marriage is about, what my home is about, what church I choose to worship in, all the decisions that we make fit into this whole realm of why we're here, what God is doing with us. And the entire real Christian life is lived in regard to a one another relationship. Starting out, of course, with our relationship with God, and then in relationship with one another, beginning in the garden with Adam and Eve. So, and then just all the various challenges that come in living with one another. And so spiritual love becomes the most important factor. The scribes and the Jews and the Pharisees came to Jesus. what's the foremost command and all these things, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your spirit, and that you love one another. This is the heart of what it's all about. It's not about my doctrine. How much doctrine do I have, and how much doctrine do I know, and all of this kind of thing. It is how it comes across in the manner in which we live with one another, when one another is, when they're walking in the Spirit, when they're not walking in the Spirit, when they've sinned against us, and they've hurt us, when we sin. There's just so many different variables in seeing and understanding the Christian life. So we're looking at this love, and we have moved to the declaration that love is kind, and we have spent time now on the importance of kindness to God as an attribute of God related to our salvation. Last week we studied spiritual love as it relates to long suffering, and that was very important. We just spent some time as not spiritual love, but kindness as it related to with long suffering. And I wanted to start there. That sounds like maybe an unusual place to start, but since we were so well established in long-suffering, I just wanted to give it a little bit of relationship of kindness and long-suffering, because they're two sides of the same coin. Long-suffering on the inside, so that what can come out and be manifested from us is kindness. So we spent quite a lengthy time dealing with that. Now, the next thing we want to look at, at the heart really of the study, is kindness and spiritual love itself. So that's where we pick up tonight. Kindness. Love is kind. So we want to find out now, just as we did with long-suffering, what is it that this adds to spiritual love that makes it love? In other words, we talk about love. And I'm one of those people, and I told you this before, and each one of you decide these kind of things yourself. I'm not declaring this. But a lot of men that study Scripture want to have a different word, English word, Greek word, Hebrew word, for God's love, human love, and what we're calling spiritual love, or love from the Holy Spirit. I'm glad that we have the word love. I think there are common things that are common in all of the categories of love. I think there are things that are common, and what we want to see is the power and what that does to it. It's just like giving is part of the Christian life. But if you give outside of the Holy Spirit, it is of no profit. It's of no benefit. If you give in the power of the Spirit, that changes everything. So I'm just glad. I think that if we were just studying human love, if we were studying Aristotle and studying human love, there are various ingredients and concepts of human love that are constant. And even human love. I think one of the properties of human love is kindness. Human love is fickle. Human love is self-centered. Human love is self-interest. We could talk a lot about those things, but even having said all of those things, one of the makeups of human love is that it's kind. And I think that's, I think that these things are, I think a lot of these things are characteristics of love wherever it is found, if indeed it is love. And therefore, a lot of people are fooled in the human realm of somebody says, I love you, and none of these are there. So you kind of wonder, what are they talking about? Spiritual love, these are the things that are given to us by the Holy Spirit. Okay, we've covered 2 points, and I have marked that we stopped at the end of point 2. Does that fit with anybody's notes? Okay. Well, how many points do you have?
We finished that.
Under kindness? You got.
We went to Galatians 5:2.
Okay.
Alright,
wait a minute. We went to Galatians 5:2. I'm sorry?
I have point 2.
You have point 2?
Yeah.
And you have point 2? Okay. let me see here. Yes, that's exactly what we were doing. Let me see something here. Yeah. Okay, yes, that was the first set of notes, Galatians 2. Okay, now, so we're in the same boat. Okay, kindness and spiritual love. Spiritual love is kind, and we're looking at that impact. Point 1, we look here at the Greek. here is not a descriptive adjective, not a qualifying noun. It's a verb. And the verb is Christuomai. The only place in the New Testament verbal form. And in Galatians 5:22, we have in the, as a fruit of the Spirit, the substantive, meaning a noun. And this is very important to me. And I bring that up occasionally to you, at least the beginning of each one of these, because I think it's important that you're aware you are not kind. Love is kind. This is an action of God's love. I still have a problem with Christians and who, you know, they're into this obedience thing and they go out and they do these things for God. People, you and I don't do the thing. God, the Holy Spirit, does. At least that's the way I see and understand Scripture. Now, I know you can go talk to some other scholars and teachers and preachers and all this stuff. No, you've got to do for God. I contend that we can do nothing for God outside of the power of the Spirit. It is Him doing it. Like, for an example, love. I think this is one of those places we come, like studying Scripture, we come to the point, I cannot do this. And I think this is the Pharisees. The Pharisees realized they could not love this way. Now, they could put forth a form of righteousness that looked good in the law, but they knew they could not love. They were bankrupt in this. We cannot produce this love. Somebody sins against us 7 times in one day of the same sin over and over and over, that really challenges our flesh nature. I've had enough. You know, I forgave and we were reconciled and all the first 2 times. Third time it was a little hard on me, but now the 4th time you come back again, I'm sorry, I don't think you've really repented. I don't care if you have or not, I'm not going to let you do it again and it's over. It's just challenging. So this is what love does. Spiritual love is kind. It doesn't cease to be, it is. So we spent some time on that. Point two. The root word is Christus. And from this we gain a basic understanding of spiritual love. And I really mean that. We gain a basic understanding of what we're adding to spiritual love when we add kindness. Please kind of stay with that fun little idea. We are manufacturing, we're coming up with love now, and the first ingredient we have put into the big urn is long-suffering. Now we're adding something else to it, and what we're adding now is kindness. Let's find out now what we're adding to our product of love. What are we adding? We add kindness. What are we adding to it? Okay, here's what the word means out of the lexicon. It is used... or something that it makes something useful. The word is used to describe something or someone as being useful, serviceable, edifying, suitable for a specific purpose. The kindness of spiritual love is suitable for the purpose of making us Christ-like. We look like Christ because Christ is kind. His love is kind. It's suitable for that. So it is suitable for a specific purpose. This is the characteristic of kindness to spiritual love. This is what spiritual love adds. Kindness adds to spiritual love. Makes it suitable for what God intended it to be for. So point three. As to what this adds to love, the Greek word refers to that which is directed toward others. Out of the Greek lexicon studies, this word is used to refer to that which is directed toward others. Now, let me see if I can help you here. What do I mean by that? Let's take long-suffering. Long-suffering is you. It's inside of you. The effect of the verb of long-suffering is something that happens inside of you. The world really can't see that. It can't see that. What we've added now in the production of love, what we've added now is something that is directly related to interaction. Interaction between two people. So this word adds that quality, that impact of being directed toward others. One might argue long-suffering is directed toward others, but I think a strong study of the word that we spend so much time on, long-suffering is directed toward us. Makes us long-suffering. So that something else can happen, what comes out from that, and that's kindness. kindness really brings in the other person. We've now added an ingredient in love to our urn, in our urn here that we're making. We've added an ingredient that now is going to be drawn to others or taken out to other people. So the Greek word for kindness is a relationship word. It's a relationship word. That's very important. It's a relationship word. Long-suffering is a self-stabilizing word. Kindness, the word that we're studying, is a relationship word. It adds to understanding of love your relationship with others. There's an inherent action in spiritual love toward others called kindness. It adds relationship. It now takes us into an involvement with another person. People, if you think what God is doing here and the order that we have, I'm stable now. Long suffering is made. Somebody has sinned against you. You go into spiritual love. First thing it does is stabilize you, long suffering. Now that that's done, now you're able to reach out to that person that has wronged you, sinned against you, and do something for them, like put yourself on a cross for their redemption. Like if you're God, lower yourself and become man. What can do that? God's love can do that. Because God's love is not going to be all torn apart because we sinned. Somehow we get this idea that, boy, we can just tear God apart up there. That's because we can tear each other apart. But where there's spiritual love, they're tearing God all apart. So that God can now do what? He can now have the action of kindness, become man, and as man, die on a cross. Let's take that to us. He pours spiritual love in. Now you are kind toward others. This is what is going to make love useful, serviceable, edifying to others. Okay, point four. Now let's add a few more things. The Greek word, what is serviceable? Useful. These are all out of lexicon. What is, and this is beautiful, what is needed? What is needed? And that means in two different ways I want you to think about it, two dimensions. I want you to think about word, what is needed, dealing with the word kindness, and it's on the ideal of what is needed. One, what is needed to have love? This is something that if there's going to be love, love is kind. So it's needed just to have in truth love. Somebody says, I love you, and there is no kindness, that's not love. Even in the human realm, that's not love. You call it a lot of other things, but it's not love. Parent rears a child, self-discipline, teaching this, teaching that, all that, there's no kindness. It's not love. Oh, yeah, I really love because he's teaching them. No. If you're going to have love, you're going to have kindness. You're going to have it. So, you know, just to kind of make it, take it out of the, I think, out of the elementary level where there might be more problems with the illustration. But you get to college. Every one of you has been to college. Our professors didn't love us. I mean, kindness in the sense of love. They cared about, let's take a good professor, they cared about whether or not we learned the material. And they were very good at that. But if it was kindness or not kindness, wasn't an issue. They didn't want them to love us. We wanted them to teach us. And so that's a good teacher. But where there is love, there is going to be kindness. And if there's not that, people, then it lacks this basic ingredient in the subject matter of love. It's basic. Really force, because remember we're dealing with a verbal form, this verbal form force of what is needed. So one, it is needed, and please get this in your mind, it's needed if there's going to be love. If there's going to be love, there's going to be this kindness. Two, it adds what is needed by the other person, because it's a relationship word. So this is what that other person needs. This is what the human race needs. In our arrogance, in our belligerence, in our being enemies with God, whether we were sorry about it or not sorry about it, it doesn't matter. What we needed was His kindness. And that's what we received, was His kindness. He came, took the form of man, and died on a cross for us. We looked at it from God's perspective. He sent us His Son. Kindness. So we're learning about kindness from God, and we'll go on through a lot of places, but kindness toward a husband and wife, family, friends. If there is truly love, there's going to be a conscious awareness of what the other person needs and meeting that need. That's what it's going to be. That's why I just spent a moment Sunday on Mother's Day in dealing with how this lady was a teacher of the law of kindness. The Hebrew actually said the law of kindness. I don't know if I brought that out, but the Hebrew says the law of kindness. And that means teaching children, teaching people. And the way you teach that is you teach them to be aware of the needs of other people. And not just your not just yourself, but the needs of people. And want to meet those needs. Now, it's going to do it with a lot of other things added. It's going to do it in love. It's going to do it in kindness. It's going to do it in spirit of gentleness. Other things that we're going to see. So even that in itself. But kindness, this is what is needed right here. And it's constantly aware. A good waiter, waitress, waiter, is just doesn't stand over your table. Stands way over there, but observes everything. And knows when you need water, butter, whatever. When you need to be left alone, you're talking. When you need this, when you need that. It's a lot being a good waiter. It's a lot being a good husband, good wife, good mother, good father, good friend. Good friend in regard to the church, and life, business, social. It's tough. And so every now and then you reach the point, well, doesn't anybody care about me? What do you know when we say that? Well, we know, one, we're not in the filling of the Spirit. Why do we know that? Because later on we're going to find out love doesn't care when it's not catered to. We'll see that. So we know that about ourselves. We're not running ourselves down. We just know that, you know, that's where we are and that's where that comes from. And what we need to do about it. And so this is what it adds. Okay, let's move on now. So point four, it adds what is needed. Needed on two levels, two dimensions. One, what is needed to make it love, what is needed by the recipients of it. Remember, it's a relationship word, interaction of two objects. Remember, we're looking at spiritual love as a spiritual force. The force is the interaction of two objects, always constantly moving. So here's the action of spiritual love. Here's what makes spiritual love useful between two, between you and someone else. Here's the action that is needed. What is the action? It is the kindness of love that is so often needed and so often not there. Point five. Kindness characterizes the believer filled with the Spirit. Kindness characterizes spiritual love. You know it. And therefore, when we're walking in the Spirit, this is what is going to come out. All will know, what did Christ say? I didn't say it, Christ did. All will know that you're mine, what? If you love one another as I love you. What is the world going to see? Well, one thing they're going to see is kindness. Next, what else are they going to see? That it's not boasting. But we're going to say that something before it doesn't boast. What does it not do? Does not get jealous. That's inside. See, the world isn't going to see that. The world isn't going to see whether you're jealous or not. But the world is going to hear if you boast or not. So they're going to hear that. And it's going to be played all the way through. Love is not arrogant. That's on the inside. Love does not act unbecoming. That's outside. So this is something that all will know that you're mine. How are they going to know? Because they're going to see the kindness of love. That's the kind of love Jesus Christ loved with. That's His kind of love. So this is what is going to make it visible and cause people to know that we belong to Jesus Christ and are loving as He loves. So point five, kindness characterizes spiritual love. Therefore, it characterizes the believer who is walking by faith in the spiritual life. If your love is not kind toward others, then your love is not of the Holy Spirit. It is not the love of Christ. Kindness is extended to people. It is extended to people, especially when they don't deserve it, when they don't earn it, but boy, do they need it. We did not earn or deserve it as unbelievers, but boy, did we need it. And we didn't even know we needed it. We didn't even know what we needed. Didn't even know what we needed. But that's what we needed. Like in the Frankenstein stuff, you know, the little child. Just tamed him. Big old monster. Not just him, we're this big monster. And that kindness just melted him. And this is what happened. So this is something we all need, and it's what is extended. And this is what will come from us when we're walking by faith in the Spirit. So kindness is extended to people, especially those who have sinned against us, hurt us, but this is what they need. And it is not negative. I was kind to him by, you know, and there is this kind of teaching that goes on. Well, you know, I'm kind to you. How am I kind to you? Because I didn't punch you in the nose. It's not that kind of kindness, people. And we're not talking about that kind of love. That is not love. I don't know if I told you what that is, but that's not love. What that is law. The reason I don't pop you is because I know I'll get in trouble with the law if I do. Not love. Those are judicial things. Kindness reaches out and acts kindly toward the other person. Kindness, our spiritual love, is doing good to others, giving what is needed at that point. Kindness is what is serviceable to others. What is serviceable, what will serve others. This is a characteristic of the love of Christ. This is a characteristic of the love of the Holy Spirit. This is a characteristic of the love that will come through you if you're walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. Point six. Again, the verb, kristomai, Christotes, is not something that you decide to do. This is important. It is not something you decide to do. Kindness is a quality of spiritual love. It is a part of spiritual love. Spiritual love, or love doesn't choose to be kind, love is kind. That's what I'm trying to say here. Love is kind. We don't choose to be kind. If you are loving as Christ loved, you will be kind. Others may not understand it. That's why they'll ask, what is your secret? From the Samson study. But kindness is not a quality that finds its value in its expression. Now let me repeat that. Kindness is not a quality that finds its value in its expression. It finds its quality in its essence, in its makeup, in its very being. Now, I forgot where. I don't think this is where, but in Luke chapter 5:39, our Lord uses this word to describe wine. Now, I'll probably be referring to it, so let's go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 5, if you will. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 5. I learned some things about the synoptic gospels that's going on and textual criticism and the Bible is still being fought. And it'll be fought till we die, but let you and I just take it and accept it and move on from that point. But let's look at Luke. And let's look at Luke chapter 5 and verse 39. Let me get there with you. Okay, Luke chapter 5, verse 39. Let's see what we have here. The Lord is speaking, and so let's see what the Lord is saying here. And no one, let's just see the context, verse 36, and he was also telling them a parable. No one tears a piece from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. I wish we had time to study all of this, but otherwise he will both tear the new and the piece from the new will not match the old. This is trying to take the old nature and the new nature. People, it's not trying to make you a better person. Please realize that. The spiritual life is not making you a better person. It's not trying to take your old man and make him a nice person. Your old man is not in any way. This is something brand new. You are a new creation in Christ. And no one puts a new wine into an old wineskin. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins and it will spill out and the skins will be ruined. Now, there's the spiritual life, but we'll get to that. Now, let's see verse 38. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And verse 39 is our study. And no one of any sense, anyone knows what they're doing, after drinking old wine, which is for new. For he says, the old is good. Now, no one after drinking old wine, which is for new. And, you know, wine, most people know wine gets better with age, good wine. A lot of things happen in God's plan with fermentation, and man has perfected that. And I have one of my wine books that I really enjoy reading. It does it with geography and all, but makes a really wonderful statement to him, his view. One of the most wonderful joint efforts between God and man is the making of good wine. And meaning that God set it all up, and all we've done is learn how to perfect it and how to use it, not perfect it, but use it in the vast and different things. So this is the wine getting better. And then it says, for he says, the old is good. Forget enough. It's not there. The NASB says enough is not there. Now, the word, it says the old, that is the wine that is aged. It becomes better and finer, and any new wine, it isn't going to have all of the character of the old wine. The old wine is good. Now, the word for good here, what's that word for good? It's our word. It's our root word. Not the verbal form, but our root word. Christos, kind. Isn't that interesting that he would use that word? Let's look at it. What we're doing here, so you can kind of have fun, one of the nice ways to do a word study is to take a theological word, and right now we'll say kindness is our theological word, see if you can find it in the Bible, preferably by the same writer, but see if you can find it in a non-theological context. And it'll help you start grasping the basic understanding, like righteousness. And there are several non-theological contexts in the Old Testament for that word. But here is we're not dealing with theology, we're not dealing with spiritual laws, we're not dealing with being kind to somebody, but we want to learn about the Word. So we go to here and we find out, here's our Lord who says that the wine is good. No one, any sense at all, enjoys wine after drinking old wine, good wine is good for a while, which is for new. For he says, the old is good. What are you saying? The old is kind. Now, that may sound funny, but let's think about it now. The old is kind. The old is worthy. The old is pleasant. The old is gentle. The old gives it its suitability, gives it its character, gives it what I want out of it. So how can we look at this and what can we learn from it? Well, we learn a lot of things. Kindness, that quality he's talking about, penetrates the whole bottle. Penetrates the whole nature of the wine in that bottle or jug, not bag here. It is not kind just at the top. It is not kind at the bottom. It is kind all the way through. It's the part that what constitutes that wine is being kind. Secondly, see how philosophical this is for you. Wine expresses, Wine, this is very, very deep philosophy. Wine cannot express what wine is not. You got to think about that. It's deep philosophy here. Wine cannot express what wine is not. A sour wine cannot be kind. That they gave Jesus Christ when he was hanging on the cross. They gave him sour wine. It cannot be kind. What's the point? Man cannot be kind. Man cannot offer to God anything that is not, that is kind. God offers itself. So there's a lot in that little study. But sour wine cannot be kind. And love that is not of the Holy Spirit is not going to express the kindness of the love of Christ, the love of God. Thirdly, wine expresses that kindness, and this is what's beautiful in its application. Wine expresses that kindness to anyone who tastes it, whether they can appreciate it or not. Wine expresses that kindness to anyone who tastes it. It is kind to a person who knows nothing about wine. It is kind to the connoisseur of wine. They could sit at a table and have all kinds of people at the table, people who are just wonderful connoisseurs and know how to enjoy wine, to a person that wouldn't know fine wine from Red Ripple, just wouldn't know the difference. So we pour this really fine old wine out. Well, as we go around, say, that person who cannot appreciate it, the wine isn't going to say, you know, this person isn't going to appreciate me, so I'm not putting out my best. I'm not going to just really, you know, gush and have this kindness for this person because they can't appreciate it. They wouldn't know it anyway. So I'll just, you know, just kind of pour myself to a beer and for this person. No, that wine is going to be just as kind, as rich to that person, even though they can never appreciate it. People, that's the kindness of the love of God. It is kind to every member of the human race, whether every member of the human race appreciates it or not. They are benefactors of the work of Christ on the cross. Whether they take it or not, they receive his kindness. And man receives the kindness of God. That's the whole point. Now, let's take it to spiritual love. Whether a person responds to your spiritual love or not is not the point. Now, that's very important. Well, you know, I have forgiven you these 6 times or 5 times this day, going to the parable, and you just keep going out and sinning. You just don't appreciate my forgiveness. You don't appreciate my love. You don't appreciate my kindness. So I'm just not going to do it anymore. I'm wasting it on you. That's not love. Love never looks at it as though it's been wasted. Just the expression of itself. That quality, that attribute, that essence of kindness is there. Whether you appreciate it or not, whether I appreciate it or not, whether you deserve it or not, has nothing to do with any of those kind of words. So that when you love one another as Christ loved you, what that means is you love and they're going to get this kindness, whether they deserve it or not, appreciate it or not, and that's going to become very important. If we do, we'd look back at the forward and what's coming up in 1 Corinthians 13 about love. Love just doesn't consider when wronged. Love doesn't say, well, if you don't appreciate it, then, you know, you're not going to get any more. I'm just through being that way. No, that's not love. Love isn't going to be that. Spiritual love, if it's going to manifest itself, it's going to be kind. Now, you can decide not to be in the Spirit and not give it. But if you choose to be in the Spirit, it's going to be kind, whether they appreciate it or not. And Christians make a very big deal about whether or not a person appreciates it or not, whether they deserve it or not, whether they're going to give it or not, as opposed to, well, they didn't respond to that, so I'm going to give them righteousness. I'm going to give them this. I'm going to give them that. Didn't you know it wasn't spiritual love? Because spiritual love doesn't do that. That's what he means by kind. Those things we just talked about. It's a basic makeup of this model. It doesn't choose to be kind. It is kind or it is sour. And it doesn't change from person to person. It's what it is in its makeup. And it's what it's going to give to anybody and to everyone. So we do learn some wonderful things from our Lord's illustration here. Spiritual love is kind. And therefore, people, listen as we close, it cannot help but convey kindness. If it is kind, it cannot help but convey kindness. For I wish this bottle of wine tastes like beer. It can't do it. I wish this milk tasted like orange juice. He can't do it. It's not on you. It can only convey what it is. A spiritual love can only convey kindness. Because that's what spiritual love is. Spiritual love is kindness. This is what it's going to be. This is the way it's going to be. Express itself. It can only express it. It conveys kindness because it is kindness. That's what it is. So the kind wine expresses that same quality of kindness to anyone who will drink. Anyone who will drink, people, it expresses it. If Hitler comes and drinks of the wine of Jesus Christ on the cross, he's saved. If Mother Teresa comes and drinks, he's saved. It doesn't say, well, you know, you're such a horrible person. No, the kindness of the love of God is to anyone who will come and drink. Anyone who will come and receive him. It's kind. And that's what our spiritual love will be if we're going to love as Christ loved. We will manifest this kindness. So with the kindness of God, the kindness of spiritual love, the kindness of wine, it penetrates the entire essence of love. The entire essence of our manifestation of that love to others. Okay. Let's close and we'll begin here next Tuesday. Let's close in prayer. So I'm going to mark here. We finished point 6. We're ready for point 7. Okay. Close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, our wonderful study has taken us now right back to who and what you are. It has brought us, Heavenly Father, face to face with an understanding of your love. Your love is kind. Your kind draws us to repentance and to saving faith, recovery faith. What kind of God you are. You don't choose to be kind, you are kind. We are not. This is what love is, your love. So, Father, we pray that your Spirit will always nudge us, lead us into walking in the power of the Spirit that he might pour this love, and that by having this love flow through us, angels and man know that we belong to Jesus Christ because this is the way you love. Father, we praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.